O God, our Father, who has sent us your Spirit through the Son, send in a new and fresh way your Spirit upon us now, because we know that the preaching of your word, the hearing of your word, the doing of your word are all dependent upon the presence and power of your Spirit. Make us receptive to what you want to do now in us and among us and through us as you speak. We pray this in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. I don't usually begin sermons, or normally even during the midst of a sermon, include videos, but the one that you saw was one I used with the children in our daycare ministry earlier this week during our worship time, and I thought it would be a good way for us to begin today, because one of the things that's remarkable about that video isn't just that there are so many different people from different national, cultural, racial, ethnic, linguistic backgrounds sharing in that one common confession, that basic confession, Jesus is Lord, but that all of those people you saw in that video are part of one congregation in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, they may have particular ethnic or international congregations within the larger one, I'm not sure, but it is important and certainly a testifying kind of thing that they're all in one church, worshiping the one Lord, sharing in the one confession of Jesus Christ, participating in the proclamation of the one mission of the gospel. I think that's a manifestation of the Spirit's presence and a manifestation of the Spirit's power in the life of God's people. It also resembles another church that I came across recently. This one's the First Baptist Church of Amarillo, Texas. And if you were to worship there on Sunday morning, you'd find about 15 to 20 different languages being spoken, not during the same service, but in the many different international congregations that are part of that one larger congregation. One of them is a Laotian group whose pastor describes the overall picture of their church this way. I thought this was helpful. To me, God's kingdom is truly this way. We try here on earth first how we can be in heaven. There's different nationalities there in heaven, so why don't we practice here first? Why don't we practice here first? Well, in our scripture passage today, Luke describes an experience that wasn't simply practice for heaven in that sense, but also a heavenly type experience, power from on high descending into the gathering of the followers of Jesus during the Pentecost festival there in Jerusalem. Pentecost was a festival that was celebrated about 50 days or 7 weeks following Passover. It celebrated the harvest, celebrated the giving of the law to Moses. And according to Luke, this Jewish celebration became the occasion for a fresh and new outpouring of the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ. I recall one story that a preacher named Thomas Long tells about a time he was teaching some young girls in a confirmation class. There were three of these young girls in his class, and he's going through that segment of the curriculum about the different days and seasons of the Christian year. This particular lesson was about Pentecost, so he asked them if any of them knew what Pentecost was about, and they weren't sure, so he told them basically it was when the church was gathered and the Holy Spirit came down on them like tongues of fire, and then they spoke the gospel in all the languages of the world. Two of the girls who were there in that group sort of took that information in stride and sort of went with it, but the third one looked sort of astonished, wide-eyed. And Tom Long looked at her. She said, "Gosh, Reverend Long, we must have been absent that Sunday." Well, we weren't there when what Luke described was actually happening on that particular occasion, but we're still experiencing and living out the results of it and what actually happened in that moment in the story of the church. This boundary breaking, barrier crossing, church uniting, impact of the Holy Spirit, I think, is still being worked out in our life together as God's people. And one of the keys to the expansion of this good news from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, including Bryan's Road, Maryland, has been language. Language, specifically, how to communicate the gospel in the language of different cultures and nationalities and different people groups. That's how it began during this multi-sensory experience that Luke describes here in our scripture passage today. He gives some attention to the visual features of what happened, but he devotes a lot of attention as well to the audible aspects of this whole experience. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Note that Luke isn't referring primarily to ecstatic speech, what we sometimes refer to as speaking in tongues. That's described in other parts of the scripture, but that's not specifically what he's referring to here. Instead, he uses the word tongues in the sense of other languages. Other languages. That's why he goes on to say, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. You see, without the presence and the work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the disciples wouldn't have been able to proclaim the gospel the way that they did that day. And those who were in Jerusalem for the festival wouldn't have been able to understand the gospel the way that they did that day as well, in their own languages. Part of what Luke is showing us here is that the communication of the gospel and the comprehension of the gospel hinge on the presence and work of the Spirit. Both the communication of the gospel and the comprehension of it hinge on the activity of the Holy Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit in order for the good news to be spoken and heard. Both things lean completely on the Spirit. So the disciples needed that. Those who were there listening needed that. Both the enabling power to speak the gospel and hear the gospel. In this way, the Spirit makes the good news available and accessible to us, whatever particular people group we're from, or what context or background we're from, what language we speak. The gift of Pentecost is that you don't have to be a first century Jew living in the holy city in order to experience the presence and power of Jesus in your life, or in the life that Luke is talking about here. The good news of our Lord and the reality of his kingdom are translatable into different times, different locations, different circumstances, different people groups and languages and cultural settings where we live, whether it's locally or globally. There's one person who tells about a project that the United Nations once tried to do in the country of Rwanda to inform more people, especially mothers, about the necessity of childhood vaccination. So they designed and prepared posters with wonderful images of mothers and children on them. The basic information was all there in the local language in very clear and simple terms. It was all set up the way that folks thought it should be. But when things actually got to ground level in a way, it didn't work as well because they didn't necessarily keep in mind that the illiteracy rate in the country was at least 70%. So even if it were in the right local language in print, that didn't necessarily mean that it was being comprehended or grasped. And what they came to discover was that if you wanted to communicate a message within the culture of Rwanda, you needed to do it with a song, not a poster. And what would happen was the women's groups would get together and sing a song for each other. And that's the way they conveyed ideas. That's the way they shared gifts with one another in this way. In other words, no song, no message. We have to pay attention to these kinds of local contexts and the language that's spoken, the way that people communicate with one another as followers of Jesus and witnesses for God's kingdom. We always have to pay attention not only to what we're trying to communicate, But the medium in which we're trying to communicate it, as God works to get this message about Jesus spread into diverse cultures in diverse parts of the world, it's true that there have been times and places where folks have gone forth with the good news of Jesus Christ and have been disrespectful of other cultures or have damaged indigenous cultures in ways that they shouldn't have, or maybe carried out their ministry in ways that were contrary to the work and the way of the Lord. But in most cases, the Holy Spirit has been present, enlivening and enabling this labor of getting the word out about Jesus Christ in local terms, in local forms, without necessarily stampeding over people or stampeding over places and cultures that are loved by God and redeemed by God in Christ. I think one of the things we learn from our scripture passage today about Pentecost teaches us that we worship and serve a God who comes close and gets very local. He comes close and gets local, so close and so local, in fact, that he came to us in human form through Jesus. God speaks the language of incarnation in order to get to us and communicate with us and make himself available to us. So we shouldn't be surprised that following his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus Christ comes to us in an even fuller way through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, we're said, who takes this gospel and translates it to make it accessible and available to people from different nations, backgrounds, cultures, ethnicities, races, languages, making the gospel accessible. This God comes so close and gets so local because he wants to be known, wants to be received, wants to be trusted in for saving power. This God who comes to us, gives himself to us, offers himself to us in the language of a person, Jesus Christ. But while God does that so closely and so locally, he always has his mind on this great cosmic global project of forming one new humankind, one new humanity in Christ. And on that day in Jerusalem, when the Holy Spirit came like wind and fire, we get a glimpse, we're told, of this new humankind in Christ. Similar, I think, to the testimony given in the book of Revelation, where the seer says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb." That great multitude is still in the process of being formed as followers of Jesus Christ take the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit and move it forward even further than it has been so far. And in our case, that may not mean having to go very far. It's true that the places in the world where the church is growing and the gospel is spreading faster than anywhere else or on other continents, primarily Africa and Asia. But keep in mind too that a lot of the expansion and growth of the church is happening not just with what's going on in other countries, but also because so many nationalities in other parts of the world are coming to America, particularly our cities. And that's a reminder to us as well that our own congregation is part of an expanding metropolitan area where there are people from many different nationalities in lots of cases, different cultural backgrounds, speaking different kinds of languages as well, a wide range of languages. And when you combine that reality with the effect with the reality that here in our own county and in our own community, we're racially and ethnically mixed, you get an even stronger sense of how our congregation and so many other congregations' long-range future and mission is bound up with how we translate the gospel and make it visible to diverse communities by our life together as a congregation in the unity of the Spirit and the power of Jesus Christ. I think that's crucial. Now, I was thinking that since following today's worship service, we're having a fellowship meal that focuses on international issues. I would sort of begin to bring today's message to a close with a food illustration. In this case, a salad. How to eat a salad. There's someone named Scott McKnight who's written a book called, and the title of it is right here, A Fellowship of Difference. A Fellowship of Difference. Showing the world God's design for life together. And early on in this book, Scott McKnight compares the church to a salad. He says there are really three basic ways to eat a salad, and each one of them reveals something crucial about the way that we think of the church and the way that we often do church in our life together. The first way to eat a salad is what McKnight calls the American way. You get your lettuce and whatever particular preferences you have on that or other greens. You put in some maybe slices of tomato or carrots or olives, what other kinds of ingredients you like in your salad. And then you smother it with dressing, whether it's Thousand Island or blue cheese or ranch or maybe Caesar, whatever your preference. That's the first way of eating a salad, he says, called the American way. And he goes on to talk about a second way of eating a salad, which he calls the weird way. According to this method, he says, you separate each item in your salad around on the plate, and then you eat each item separately, if you prefer it that way. The people who do it this way often don't even use dressing, he says. So that's a second way to eat a salad. And what he says is that generally we've turned the church and its life together into the American way, or maybe the weird way. Under the American way, we've taken a lot of the diversity and difference that exists in the life of the church and smothered it in some way or another, the same way that we smother a salad with dressing so that it all tastes like dressing. And by doing that, we often end up with kinds of congregations where everyone's basically alike, same socioeconomic group, same race, same ethnicity, same cultural background, maybe same international background, without much room for difference. And what happens, he says, is in the course of doing that, we actually end up doing church lots of times the weird way. We end up in our own particular groups where everyone is a lot like ourselves. Racially, ethnically, internationally, culturally, in terms of the language we speak. So when everyone is very much alike, we end up in these groups where we largely resemble one another. So we've ended up doing church in sort of the American way or the weird way. But what about a third way of eating a salad? What he calls the right way. According to this method, I'll just lay out his description here. You gather all your ingredients, some spinach, kale, arugula, if I pronounce that right, iceberg lettuce, and chop them into smaller bits. Then cut up some tomatoes, carrots, onions, red pepper, purple cabbage. Add some nuts and dried berries. Sprinkle some Romano cheese. And finally, drizzle over it all some olive oil, because the olive oil manages to bring out the unique taste and flavor of each piece without smothering everything into a sameness or a oneness. And basically, McKnight challenges us to think about how we do church and how we as the church can be that right way, in a sense, of doing salad, where there's one bowl that holds all the different parts together as one. And yet there's room and space for each one to maintain its own uniqueness, its own identity, and still as part of this one together in Christ. Somehow with each part in its own identity and uniqueness, contributing to the good of the whole. Now Luke tells us that on that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came like wind, and fire, and all those folks were there from different nations and cultural backgrounds and speaking different languages, heard the good news proclaimed in their own native tongue, and asked a very crucial, enduring question. What does this mean? What does this mean? It means that the God who wants to get so close and so local, who has come to us through his own Son in human form to give himself in love for us, to die for our sins and be raised, that this God has come to us through the Holy Spirit in the midst of all our different nationalities and different cultural backgrounds and different experiences and different languages, and even in the midst of all our different foods, which we'll find out more about as we go from here into lunch today, that this God, through the Holy Spirit, has come to us to bring the presence of Christ to us in the midst of all this diversity and all this difference. And that the arrival of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean the flattening out or the elimination of the differences and the diversity and the variety in all the backgrounds and experiences. It doesn't mean that God is bound to one place, to one culture, to one language, to one kind of background or experience. God is not bound in that way, Luke tells us here in the scripture today about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Rather, it tells us that God meets us where we are in our place, our time, our experience, with our background, our race, our ethnicity, our nationality, our culture, all these things, that God meets us where we are in order to call you and me to be saved in Christ and to become part of his people, so that together as his people in the life of the Spirit, we can translate the gospel by our very life together in how we live and worship and work together in the unity of Christ, as a display of the Spirit's power and a living translation of the gospel to our time and place where we are. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have spoken the language of incarnation and come to us in human form, because you want to be close to us and you want us close to you. You want us in union, living relationship with you through your Son. And you've sent your Spirit so that we may know your Son and know you and live in close relationship with you and with each other. We pray that you look with mercy upon us for those times when we try to confine you or bind you to one particular race or ethnicity or background or language or experience or whatever. And instead, we want you to bind us together more fully and faithfully in the oneness of Christ and in the power of your Spirit, so that the world may see more and more of what your saving power can do in people's lives and in the church and in this world. Help us to be faithful in speaking the language of those we encounter each day in our lives, being alert and sensitive to who they are and where they've come from and how we need to communicate the good news of Christ to them, so that they too may know you, be part of the life of your people in Christ. We just pray now in his name. Amen.